About 35 days ago, give or take a few days, many of you gathered here in the church for Ash Wednesday. And what you heard on Ash Wednesday was an invitation to lead a Holy Lent in preparation for the Paschal Feast. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the church, it says in the prayer book, to the observance of a Holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. So how are you doing? You might have actually forgotten what you had promised that you were going to do. And the nice thing is that it's never too late. You can begin now to prepare your hearts and minds to receive Jesus, the resurrected one. It's not too late for that self-examination, denial, and the reading of Holy Scripture. And what I'd like to do this morning is to take you back through the journey that you've made during this Lenten season by looking at the Gospels for the last several Sundays. And I think that you all remember some of them, one or two, all of them, and most of you are somewhere in the middle. The first Sundays, you might recall, were the temptations of Christ. Remember, the devil enticed him with many wonderful things. He could have all these kingdoms of the world. You can be the president of this country and that country and all the riches of Sweden or Germany or the United States are yours. And all you have to do is pay homage to the devil. And you know, some people would opt for that. The devil said, if God is really God, turn these stones into bread. And we've done that, haven't we? We've tempted God. We have said, if only you get me a decent job, I will worship you fully forever. If only I'm cured from this disease, I will be more faithful. We have tempted God. We've been good at bargaining. And Jesus would have none of it. And then the devil took him up on the parapet of the temple, if you remember that, and he said, you know, throw yourself down because your angels will guard you. They'll come up and soften the blow for you. And Jesus would have nothing to do with it. The things of the flesh, the worldly attractions, Jesus knew had diminishing returns. The Father's love would endure forever. And so one of our challenges is to see the things of the flesh which are so attractive to us and say, do they enhance my life in Christ? Or do they put up a barrier? Do they allow me to flourish? Or do they become gods within themselves? We're all tempted, and we all have choices to make. Well, the second Sunday in Lent was a Sunday about Nicodemus. And I think you can remember him because we hear the phrases that he used many times, Jesus used with him. And that is, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again, born of the Spirit. And Jesus said, how could I be born again? Am I to enter my mother's womb a second time? And we might think that as well. Do we have a second chance? Can we really begin again? All that we have done in the past, all that we regret, can we begin again? And Jesus, through Nicodemus, is reminding us that, in fact, we can be born again in the Spirit of God's love. There is opportunity for us to always begin again in Christ. We hear that phrase, "Can a man be born again?" on the radio a lot. "Unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." We hear that it's sometimes a litmus test of faith. But it's no litmus test for us. It is invitation. It is invitation to see Christ working in our lives and giving us the opportunity to start again with the power of his Spirit. The third Sunday in Christ was the Samaritan woman. She went to the well to draw some water, and there she met this man. An awkward meeting, I would suspect, because what man talks to a Samaritan woman? What Jew talks to a Samaritan? And this man was a regular chatterbox in this particular gospel description. And they were talking, and she was astounded by his message, because he basically said to her, "Look, you're going to have to come back to this well over and over and over again to get the water you need, but I have living water that I want to give you. And this living water will well up as a spring for eternity." I have a feeling, though, that she might have still questioned him until he was able to reveal to her that he knew how many husbands she had. There was no denying that she lived a rather interesting life. 5 husbands. A lot of people think one is enough. She had 5. And she went back to her townspeople and said, "I met a man who told me everything I ever knew about myself. Come and see." And they did. And they were giving living water. And they were made new. How many of us, when we have experienced something that opens us up, ignites us, makes us feel even better than ourselves, how many times do we go and tell a friend and we say, "Look, I've just joined Gold's Gym down in the heart of town, and they have beautiful saunas and steam baths and all kinds of equipment, and I feel so great when I go there. Why don't you come and see it? Why don't you come and see?" But we're being asked here to spread the good news to others, to say, "Come and see. Come and see the man who told me about who I am, who knows everything about me and loves me and calls me to drink of living water." She thinks she has met the Messiah, and she wants others to share her joy. And last week, and you might remember this more than the other ones because it just happened, but you still might not. I sometimes go home from church and I say, "Gee, what was the gospel? I can't remember it for some reason." This was the one where Jesus gave sight to the blind man. He spat on the dirt, and he made a mixture of the dirt and his spittle, and he put it on the blind man's eyes. Some call it dirt, some call it earth, some call it clay, some call it paste, but I think you get the idea. He put it on the man's eyes, and he said to the man, "Go to the pool and wash." It's interesting to me that God, who created us out of the earth, now takes the earth and gives a second life to the blind man. He now receives his vision, reminding us that Jesus gives us a second chance as well. But here's the interesting piece of this. He put the paste on the blind man's eyes and then told him to go to the pool of Siloam to wash. Jesus gives us all the gifts that we need for the new vision he promises, But we have to take some responsibility for that. We have to walk to the pool. We have to take what Jesus has given to us and do those things which will bring it to life. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and think, can these bones live? And if I just stayed in bed wondering, they wouldn't live at all. I have to get up, I have to get moving. And I think that's what Jesus is saying to all of us. I give you the gift. I refashion and renew you. I transform you. But you have to cooperate with me. You need to go to the pool, to the place in your heart and mind in which you have the opportunity to be transformed. It might be that you have to change your pattern of living, that you have to let some things go, that you might have to take on other things. But Jesus extends the invitation, and we determine whether we're going to accept it or not. Now today, we get to Lazarus. If I knew the definitive meaning of Lazarus, I doubt if I'd be here. I'd be some worldwide scholar writing books and selling them. Because the raising of Lazarus holds an element of mystery. Mystery in our culture is always seen as something to unpack, as they say, to find out why. Faith says that mystery is God's gift that we hold in faith as believers, because the power of Lazarus is that Jesus has the incredible ability to do more than we can ask or imagine. And that more is dependent upon our faith. We don't receive the riches of Lazarus's life unless we are willing to believe that God has the power to make all things new. Some commentators have said that this gospel is rightly called the unbinding of Lazarus. And don't we all need to be unbound? Don't we all have those linen cloths around us that keep us binded unto death? Don't we feel as though we cannot move? And Jesus has come to unbind those cloths, to take us out of the arms of death and to lead us into life. Every one of these gospels talks about Jesus as life giver, whose strength has come from the Father's love. That's the message for us. Did I not tell you that if you have faith, you will see the glory of God? Isn't that the Christian message? Did I not tell you that if you have faith, you will see the glory of God? Over and over again in Scripture, the Lord is telling us, shall you believe this? Shall you have faith? You will in fact have life. You will be given the living water. The spittle will be put on your eyes. You will have the chance and the choice to wash in the pool of Siloam. You can be born again. In spite of the stench of death, there can be an unbinding that leads you to life. Did I not tell you that if you have faith, you will see the glory of God. Next week is Palm Sunday. The following will be Holy Week and then Easter. Are you ready? Are you ready for the resurrection in your life? Are you ready by faith to be given the breath of the Spirit, that the old bones that you carry will spring to life and be a witness to God's enduring and unending grace? May it be so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.